Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on this Thursday, September the 18th, 2025. Welcome to the show, my friends. We've got my very good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, a retired police officer from the San Antonio Police Department. And as usual, we're going to be talking about public safety, not only public safety issues in the nation, but public safety issues here in our own backyard in San Antonio. Now, before we get him on, I want to be sure that we chat a little bit about what is happening right now in Washington, D.C., and what the President Trump, is threatening to do in other places like Memphis, Tennessee, and Chicago, where the crime is really, really high. I mean, the violence, the robberies, very, very high. Here in San Antonio, we had this past weekend, we had 10 shootings, including 4 deaths. And today, it was reported on KSAT Channel 12 that the police chief is reassuring folks that the city is safe. Now, I'm just rolling my eyes right now because I'm not sure what the definition of safe is in his vocabulary. But there was an incident, my friends, this past week or a couple of weeks ago. There was an incident involving a young police officer that has not been reported in the news media. And I wanted to get Willie to tell us about it and give us his opinion about what is going on within the police department on this situation. Because if the police aren't safe, my friends, how safe are we? Willie, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Hey, George. It's always good talking to you.
So tell us, give us what you know. Tell us what you know about this situation with this police officer.
Yeah, so I was contacted by a few people. As I've mentioned before, I have people that reach out to me all the time about you know, the issues that are really concerning them regarding the police department here in San Antonio. And you know, it's not just here, because they see it all over the nation as of yet, but this situation is very troubling because I did some research, and of course, like you mentioned, it wasn't reported, so there was nothing in the news about it, at least to start with. So I had to, you know, dig a little bit deeper, and there's a lot of wormholes we can go down, but I'm going to try to stick to the path of this this story here. He's a young officer. He has less than 6 months on the police department, and he is, meaning he is, his status is obviously patrolman, but he is also on probation. He's what you call a probationary. When you graduate from the academy, you are on probation for a year, and you know, you have to really do everything. Well, you're supposed to do everything right anyway, but you have to watch your P's and Q's, especially because the chief has the authority to fire you for anything, and you have no recourse. You know, you're not under arbitration rules or anything like that. So this young officer is, like I said, within 6 months on and on the streets. So having graduated from the academy, I don't want to say certain things to make it seem like I don't know this guy at all, you know, but, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm bashing this poor officer. I have to give him kudos for actually stepping up and signing up to be a police officer, right? And especially in this day and age. So good on him there. And there's some things that I will not necessarily blame on his actions, on himself. I will blame it on the training that he's received from the police academy and the police department. But so he gets a call. He's working the South Patrol dog watch shift, which is 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., so overnight. He gets a call to, I won't say the address, but it's on the south side of town, for a prowler. And I believe it's a woman who called in and said, there's a man in my backyard. You know, she doesn't know him. So I'm hearing also, again, the insider information, that normally you send two officers, at least two officers, you know, one to handle the call and the one to cover him, which is the smart thing to do. And I'm hearing that this officer canceled his cover, sent him a message on the computer or text, I don't know, and said, hey, I'll let you know. And that's very common. You know, we all used to do that on the PD, especially because some of these calls, we know what they are, but sometimes with the details, we know what they sound like, you know. So I'm not making excuses for him on this situation, but especially as a new officer, you shouldn't cancel cover, you know. So he cancels his cover, and he shows up to the call by himself. And he finds the man in the backyard of this woman's residence, and he's asleep. I believe he was sitting in a chair. And I heard, and I'm not exactly sure where they were positioned, but there were some knives either on his lap or nearby, you know, so which pretty much indicated they were his. And so before the officer wakes him up, he removes the knives away from him, which is very smart, you know, tactically. Wakes the guy up, and whatever dialogue they had, he tells the guy he needs to leave. Now, I have a problem with this because at this point, this guy's criminally trespassing. And, you know, I haven't seen a picture of this person or video of this incident, but judging from what I know, you know, now, once they apprehended him after all this, I would bet it was pretty easy to spot that this guy was intoxicated or under the influence of something, mind you. So he had every right to handcuff this guy and detain him, but he didn't. And I don't even know if, I don't believe he identified him. So he shoos him off. And that in itself, you know, you're not doing this lady any good. She's like, what if this guy comes back? You know, you're not helping her if you just shoo the guy away. Because then the officer leaves and he's, you know, he can potentially come back. So the guy leaves. And so while the officer's talking to the complainant, the woman, the guy comes back. And of course the officer says, hey, I told you to leave. You know, and I'm paraphrasing. And the guy starts taunting him. I'm hearing, and I'm learning more, like just recently, that the guy was actually like circling him, like almost stalking him in a sense, and taunting him. And I even heard that he said, are you ready to die? He asked the officer, are you ready to die?
Oh my God.
Those are pretty serious words.
And
yes.
He's got knives, right? I mean, apparently he still has
knives.
Well,
so he should still think that he does, mind you. But since you mentioned that, so I don't forget, the backstory is that he dumped the knives. They found them in a trash can a ways away from where he went. You know what I mean? So thank God he did that. Because now he doesn't, and the officer doesn't know that, mind you. This is later after, you know, everything's situated and they investigate the crime scene. So him and the officer tries to go hands-on, meaning he's trying to arrest him or detain him. At this point, he should be under arrest. You know, that's a terroristic threat on the officer. And now he's definitely criminally trespassing. So he goes, tries to go hands-on. They get into a struggle. Now, mind you, this officer I'm hearing is small in stature. He's very light. He's short. And, you know, so, and I'm hearing that the suspect was, who was 35 years old, by the way, was about the same size. And so they get to a struggle, and the suspect takes him to the ground. And I'm hearing, hearing from the video, it looks really, really bad because you hear this officer really fighting for his life. The guy appears to have some sort of jiu-jitsu training because he gets him in a submission hold, what's called a rear naked choke hold. And so much where he's like got his legs wrapped around him, and what they call in MMA, he has his hooks in. So you wrap your legs around his legs and then you hook your feet into his. So he can't get out. So you got a good hold on him. And then he's got, you know, a choke hold on him. Then he picks up a rock from, you know, the ground there nearby and starts beating the officer in the head.
Wow.
And yeah. And I'm hearing that the officer was beat pretty bad. And has required reconstructive surgery.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, people that were witnessing this, to include the complainant, they started calling in. Nobody came to help him. I hear some neighbors called in, you know, which is the norm nowadays, right? You pull out your phone and you don't do anything. You know, you just videotape action, you know, things that are going on. So, and then for whatever reason, I'm hearing that his radio, because on the police radios, there's a button or a way that you can activate an emergency tone, which lets everybody, it clears the air, lets people know that you're in distress. But that activated on the central channel, and we don't know why. Maybe his radio switched over, I don't know, to that channel, because sometimes in the struggle, the radio will switch off, it'll fall off, body cam will fall off, things like that. But then, you know, officers start going and to help him. And I'm hearing them when the cover officer arrived, both of them are laying on the ground, lots of blood everywhere. And it appears that the suspect beat him so much and so hard that he kind of passed out and was tired out himself. So the officer believed that they were both like out or dead, you know what I mean? And they apprehended him. Guy had meth on him, and thank God didn't have the knives on him.
Wow. How does this reach this situation where what kind of training did this poor guy have?
Well, the training has changed significantly since I went through back in 1989. You know, we saw it, I saw it while I was still there. But what I do know in this day and age of this police reform crap, new way of policing crap, this de-escalation ridiculous idea that they think works, it's rearing its ugly head. This kinder, gentler crap, can I say that? Hopefully,
yes, yes,
you don't
yes,
have to
yes.
bleep that out. This kinder, gentler way that they thought would work is not, and it's showing that. Officers are in more danger now because they're not prepared through their training. Oh. And I'm hearing, back when I went through, for one, it was hard, a lot of exercise, a lot of conditioning, and we actually boxed each other at different times. I boxed at least 3 times. And, you know, you're wearing headgear and stuff, but you're getting hit. So, and the whole point of that was to know what it felt like to get hit.
Right.
I had never been hit, you know, I'd been in a fight at all. So it was good that I knew that. And it's good to know that you can, you know, this is what it feels like and you can survive it,
uh-huh.
you know, and you can fight your way through it. Some could not, you know, some you could see that. But it's this de-escalation crap that they're teaching these guys, this kinder, gentler way. And I'll tell you, it comes from the chief. Who's following, you know, the trends of the nation and he even said it, there's an interview where he says, I don't want warriors, I want guardians. Well, you know, Uvalde wanted warriors, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Back when that stuff happened, they want them when they think it's right, but they don't want them when you're trying to protect yourself. And so they'd rather train these officers to not hurt somebody, even the ones that need to get hurt before you kill them.
Now you here, explain to me how the heck you can de-escalate when you've got somebody who's circling you and threatening you and then attacks you. I mean, how do you de-escalate something like that?
Well, you said it right there, George. You escalate your level of force.
Yeah.
De-escalation is over.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had that situation in my career. I mean, I've had some people buck up, but I escalated my level of force. At that point, and especially if someone says, are you ready to die? I am going to hit that person as hard as I can, you know, because the other thing is the optics. Oh, you just beat him and beat him and beat him. I'd rather knock him out with one punch or two. You know what I mean?
Right.
And not a lot of people can do that. You have to be trained in that or have the stature to do it, the strength to do it. But You said it yourself, and you know, and it was really fortunate that you made that little mistake in your verbiage. Yeah, you escalate your level of force because you are authorized to, as a police officer, to de-escalate that situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of things he could have done. I don't know if he had a taser, could have drawn his taser. He could have, you know, because he didn't see any weapons in this guy's hands, I guess, at that point. But I don't train officers in defensive tactics, really. I'm more of a ground and pound guy, so
yeah, right.
I don't have any skill in MMA or boxing. I just fight, you know what I mean? But I do tell them that I don't like to get on the ground with these people, unless you know jiu-jitsu well.
Yeah, right.
because when you're that when you're on the ground with somebody, you're that close, you have too many things that they could grab on your belt: knives, pens, gun, you know, tasers, all that stuff. So I used to like to, if they struggled, I'd break away and then go to punching. And, you know, if they ran, they ran. Well, then that's a whole nother story. But, you know, it's the way they're training these guys. And what I was leading to was about when we box, they don't do that anymore. They do this little wrestling type thing with an instructor who doesn't wear headgear. And when I saw that video of them doing it at the academy, I was like, he doesn't have headgear because these guys, the cadets, are not allowed to strike him. So that doesn't make any sense. You know, something's better than nothing, but that's what they're going through. So, and a lot of it too, you learn on the streets, you get into struggles with people, but it
would be like practicing touch football when you're going to get into a tackle game later.
100%. The officers are. Wow. The officers are. They're told to play, you know, flag football when you're playing tackle with a suspect. It's the dumbest friggin' concept that these people have come up with. In our department, when you have these alleged leaders or, you know, administrators who went through the academy and worked the streets themselves, they don't have the guts or the nads to say, hey, that doesn't work. They just go along with all the other crap that's been going on in the nation.
Now, do you think that there are other police officers out there, young ones, that are, you know, that might commit the same errors or that might put themselves in the same danger?
Always. Wow. Always. You know, I mean, again, they're talking about the stature of this male, thinking about the females.
Yeah.
You know, females are naturally not as strong as men, no doubt.
That's right.
But, you know, and I you know me, my smart ass saying.
And you know, how much of this has to do with DEI, with affirmative action? I mean, how much of it, I am used to thinking of a police officer as someone who is, you know, at least 6 foot, you know, and has a good build, someone that can defend me, someone who can take a bad guy down. But I mean, it just, I don't know, if you're going to hire anybody and everybody be in the name of diversity, what do you end up
with? Well, no doubt it has infected the police department. In fact, and I've talked about it, I believe, with you before, I don't remember how long ago, but you want to talk about an initiative that really pushes DEI, and people that are listening, look up 30by30.org. That's 30x30.org, and that'll tell you what's going on in the police departments. They are pushing to have anybody that accepts whatever they're, like they sign up for the challenge or whatever, and San Antonio is one of them, that by the year 2030, 30% of our police force will be women.
Wow.
Yes.
And, you know, that sounds great, except when you realize that you need warriors. You need people that can take down bad guys.
Well, and I will say this, because I have some women in the department that I've worked with, and they were definitely good officers, and some better than some male officers, I would prefer. You know, I'm not a person that's against women in the police department. I really don't. But you shouldn't lower the standards to bring them over.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of the good ones, they don't like that either, because they came on at a time when they had to make the same standards as we did. And they're proud of that, which is awesome. So I will not say I'm against women in the police department, but when you start implementing DEI, or you're trying to, you know, reach that goal of 30 by 30, and, you know, we have another 5 years to get to that goal, I mean, it's always going to be lower because you're losing through attrition, and then you can't hire, you know, or whatever. So what are you doing? How am I going to reach that goal? I'm just start pushing them through. And so now this officer was male, and what it sounds like, they pushed him through when they should have, you know, to save his own life, should have, you know, said so, because police force is not for everybody.
Yeah, right.
You know,
definitely not. I faint at the sight of blood. So, I mean,
yeah, well, I didn't know that until I saw it, and I didn't. So, you know,
So, I mean, I, you know, if you've got to have a temperament, you've got to have an ability. And I mean, it just seems to me that if you're going to do, I mean, if you're desperate to have police officers because you're not attracting them, or because of social issues or whatever, then you need to address that, not just hire anybody, it seems like. I don't know.
Well, we all know that the purpose of DEI is only to please those people that aren't even involved in anything.
Exactly.
Just to, you know, just to go, oh, look, I like seeing a diverse group. Well, it wouldn't matter to me if that diverse group was all capable of doing the job, mm-hmm. regardless of what kind of job it was.
Well, I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of curious as to whether or not anybody has told the criminals about diversity and de-escalation.
Well, you know, for them, it's all good because they know. And then, like I've mentioned before, they're dumber than rocks, but they also know the tone and the sense, the atmosphere, that the officers are not as astringent as the ones of old, especially the older crooks. You know, they were used to being handled, and what I mean handled, they couldn't walk around without an officer noticing them and keeping an eye on them, or maybe even stopping them.
Right.
That's how you deter crime. You keep them on their toes. You know, these people don't take days off for crime. They every day, especially if you're, because most of the crimes are related to drugs. It's not like they go, hey, I'm going to take a week off and go to the coast, and I'm not going to do drugs. They can't do that, you know. So they're 24/7 crooks, and they understand when as they're moving in about society, they can tell that hey, you know, the heat's not on. There's no officers around, and the ones that I have seen, you know, I've been stopped. I've talked back to them, and they don't do anything, and they just get emboldened, and that's what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, the social media is full of videos where somebody is mouthing off to a police officer, if not attacking them. It's amazing. Now,
yeah, it's cool to resist the police.
Yes.
And to, you know,
yes.
And then the officers don't know their own justifications. Yep. They really don't. And it's like, you know, you can handcuff that loudmouth who's interfering with your duties and get him out of the equation and just say, hey, that's for your safety and mine.
Yep.
And then when I finish what I do, I may think about arresting you, you know, and if you're going to be cool, I'll cut you loose. I've done it before.
Yeah.
But you can't interfere with my duties, and my duties don't necessarily mean action. Uh-huh. If I'm standing, like say a foot patrol guy downtown, because we don't have foot patrol anymore, let's say bike patrol, you don't have the right to come up and stick a camera in my face and start asking me questions that have nothing to do with anything. You know what I mean? And it's like, my duty is to stand here and to deter crime. So you're interfering.
That's right.
You know, but officers won't go hands-on with these guys, you know? And they know who to target and who not to.
So at this point, I mean, to me, it seems like not only are police officers in danger, but we're in danger too, you know? So what needs
Very
to
much
happen?
So.
What needs to happen, in your opinion?
We need to get rid of this chief.
Uh-huh.
He has been there too long. He is. I really don't know why he's been this long. But, and I am not confident to say that the next one will be any better. It'll probably be a DEI hire next for this chief, and they'll just go along with the city government, as you've seen and you posted this a while ago in your social media. City Council had a meeting. And we were supposed to get 65 new police officers.
Right.
And they've agreed to lower it down to 40. But that was a fight. And thankfully, to some council men, I believe Mark White was one of them. And I can't remember who the other one. So, I'm sorry that I don't mention them. But they fought to say, hey, we need more police officers. I saw another post that said we're like down like 500. I don't know. But and response to what you said at the beginning, there's no way crime is down. You just said what was going on in the last week. And the chief is saying, oh, I assure you, the city's safe. I mean, what else is he going to say? I suck at my job, and therefore all of y'all are in danger.
10 shootings in 24 hours.
Right. I mean, what's he going to say? Hey, guys, I suck at my job, and it's all my fault that crime's high. You know, he's going to – they've used that ridiculous what is the hotspot initiative with UTSA.
Right.
That is just – that all that does is it provides smoke and mirrors for the public. Because they're not lying about the stats, you know. I mean, yeah, crime is down where the officers are sitting for, so long.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that would seem like you would recognize if that's the case, then you would want police officers all over the place.
Yeah, and you know, I will say, you know, here's the issue. I do know that, yes, we are, you know, they do understand that we are down police officers, but when you also detract from their effectiveness through your crappy training,
yeah.
then they're still not good. Because you still can do more with less if you train them the right way.
Correct.
You know, but they don't want to do that because the leftists, they know what needs to happen. Why do you think they're fighting Trump when he's trying to stop crime in D.C. or Chicago? Because they know what needs to happen, but they can't stomach what is coming. Yep. And all that is their fault. It's gotten this bad. You know, you didn't discipline these kids, and that's the way I equate
it. Exactly.
Back here, so now you really have to discipline them now and possibly kill a few these people over here because you've let them get so bad. You know, you saw Chicago, there were gangs going, yeah, bring your stuff over here. You know, they're making videos. Yeah, you know. Which, you know, it's a bunch of fluff. It's like, yeah, you wait until the good guys come in and they're going to handle you really well.
Exactly.
But to have them step up, that's bold.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, some of these crazy kids will be bold in real life and then they get shot and then it's the police officer's problem.
And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
No one cares if they get shot by each other. But
no, nobody says anything about that. That's right.
Yeah, when a police officer does it's our fault. No, we could have done different.
My gosh.
Yeah.
That's right. Buddy, give us some concluding thoughts before we let you go here. What do we learn from this situation with this poor officer that got beat so badly? And what should we say about the media not reporting it? Jeez.
Well, I have some contacts and I've talked to them and I don't know if they're working on it. Hopefully they are. They'd like to get their details, but the one thing that it was not whenever they have an incident like this, it's up to the supervisors to flag it as newsworthy, and it goes to the public information office, the PIO office, and they disseminate it to all the media outlets.
Uh-huh.
I'm hearing that did not happen, and I don't know why.
I did talk
to one reporter and he says, you know, and he's a seasoned reporter, and he says, you know, it's SAPD has been known to give us a hard time when we're trying to find out information on an injured officer on things like this, not necessarily that they got shot, but situations like this, they're very reluctant to give them information.
Right.
And for him to say that was new to me. And I was like, well,
that's incredible. That's interesting. Crazy. Very interesting though.
Very interesting. Yeah. So, you know, you asked and you've asked before what needs to happen. We need to change our ways in the way the federal government has changed their ways.
Right.
But it's not going to happen. And I'm a pessimist at heart. There's no way this blue city and the blue city leaders are going to all of a sudden say, yeah, that's what we need to
do.
Right. They're going to fight it and fight it tooth and nail until it gets so bad. And you know, they're going to mask it and mask it to where they eventually have to do something. But by then, you know, to whose, you know, detriment, people killed, people hurt, loss of property, things like that. Yeah, the chief is safe. He's got a driver. You know, people are protecting him.
Oh, my God.
So that's why he thinks it's, yeah, I mean, he's in uniform, you know, so he's not looking out and after the rest of the citizens. And one other thing, where is the San Antonio Police Officers Association?
I was going to ask.
On this.
How are they handling this?
Well, they're not. You know, you're they're not, especially with the president should be on the news, especially after that news report you sent out. Hey, we need those officers, right? The news, you think they'd go to him and go, let me get a soundbite from him. what do you think about this cut and hiring?
Right.
And you know, whether it goes anywhere or not, there's nothing. He's silent. And this one here, you know, and if it gets in the news, I don't know if they'll reach out. But again, why isn't he screaming for better training at the academy? That's his job. There's no one else. I've been talking about it, but, you know, at this point, I'm just a retired old police officer.
Maybe he wants to de-escalate as well.
That's always the case. Yeah, you have to laugh at it, right?
You have to. Otherwise, you just kind of get depressed, for crying out loud.
100%. I mean, I've been beating my head, like, what's going on? Like, I know the association president. What are you doing, man?
Yeah. Well, my friend, thank you so much for taking time to be with us as usual, buddy. We'll do another one next week because there's more discussion that we need to do about public safety in our city.
And, always, always.
Give us an insight into what's going on. My friends, we've been once again talking with our good buddy, Mr. Willie Cantu, a retired police officer and law enforcement expert. And Willie, we'll get back to you again next week, and we'll chat about another topic that's real hot.
Always. You know, all we can do, George, and you're doing a great job of it, you just keep it in the news. Let people know what's going on.
Exactly.
You do a great job in letting people know. And I try to share as much of that information. And as you know, I try to do the same thing on my own podcast.
Yes, but, you do. Tell them about your podcast while we're at it. Tell them about it.
It's called Blue Wolf Podcast. I'm on YouTube mostly. It's BLU, there's no E, Wolf Podcast. And I brought a retired captain on with me who was at one point an interim deputy chief. He and I graduated from the academy together. And he's a great addition. I mean, he knows the administrative side. I'm more of the street side. He knows the streets as well, which makes him a good officer. But, you know, we try to cover all kinds of topics. We're also trying to, you know, cover, like, true crime stuff, you know, not to just talk about or bash on, you know, the way the law enforcement is. But, you know, it's a work in progress, you know, and again, like I've said before.
I find it to be very, 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 very informative. It's excellent.
Yeah, and I have you to thank to start me off on that. I mean, this is my home. When anytime you have me on, it's where I started, and it's always good.
You got it, buddy. Once again, my friends, thank you for joining us, and you take care. We'll be back with you again next week, buddy.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.